So Ballygunner can reach their second All-Ireland Club Final on Saturday night. They face St Thomas's at O'More Park in Portlaoise for a 7:30 start. It will be our second George Corbett scored a big match live here on WLR. And who better to preview this game than former Waterford boss Derek McGrath, who's here in studio to look ahead. Derek, Ballygunner have done the 10 in a row in Waterford. They've done the 3 in a row in Munster. Like, as a hurling viewer, a hurling lover, like, what do you admire most about the way Ballygunner have gone about their business this year?
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to include all the years. And look, I think that respect that I would have always had for them anyway from our involvement in school is now widespread, even amongst Waterford. Even the element of tribalism that might have been there when Ballygunner were dominating the last couple of years has probably dissipated, and people are now beginning to be more respectful towards their achievements. I think sometimes, you know, what do you admire about them? You admire the fact that almost the affluence that's been associated with the area, or the numbers that have been associated with the area, has kind of, the narrative has changed now, thankfully, in that people are now beginning to be more respectful of the family environment they've created, the community environment. That, you know, there's an old saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast all day long. And I think they've just focused on their culture. A huge family, as I said, familial involvement. I was just making it up on the way out in the car. I think, you know, taking the Mahoney, Sullivan, Foley connection, I think there's 7 alone in the starting team between Tighe, Shane Sullivan, Porrig, Philip, and Kevin and Mikey and Paddy Fitz, if you like. And then you have Cormac and Ron and Power. You have the O'Keefes involved. You know, it makes up nearly 13 or 14 of the panel. So sometimes when I hear people saying you can't compete with the numbers, I say to myself, hang on, there's 2 or 3 families kind of driving this whole kind of, you know, organisation out there. Just loads of good people involved. So the admiration I'd have them has been sometimes to my own detriment, I suppose, because people would probably think that you're nearly, not pro Ballygunner, but you're certainly kind of, I've seen it up close in school. I've seen the type of men that these guys are. And the admiration would be genuine on my behalf, I suppose, in that it's just, they're great fellas and very driven, and group of guys just giving everything, well led by a really genial, decent, sincere manager as well in terms of his whole approach. And he just loves what he's doing, and I think it's a journey that's not going to stop anytime soon, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned the manager there, Darragh O'Sullivan. What have you made of the job he has done with this group of players, Derek?
Well, you know, Dara, first and foremost, I actually played all the way through school with Dara. I played minor hurling with Waterford. I played under 21 hurling with Dara. And I think people don't realise Dara was a very clever hurler himself as well. You know, sometimes, no different than myself, when you don't quite make it, I suppose, at senior level, people forget that Dara has an accumulation of county medals himself. And when I see the man, he's going down over a ruck ball and roll lifting it in a group of 5 or 6, I think of how good Darragh O'Sullivan was at that. I know how good Darragh O'Sullivan was hand passing out around the back. When I see, you know, Kevin Mahoney picking the ball, the last ball we say against the Pearsic near the end of the game, where he seemed to be on the ground and all of a sudden he had the ball in his hand, I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in terms of his influence that way from a hurling perspective. And I think that sometimes that gets lost. But then it's just the decency of the guy, the calmness on the line. I think they're very calm, himself and David Franks and the management team. Obviously a huge statistical input from Shawnee O'Donnell. You can see his stamp all over the team, and he just has great drivers on that team. You know, if you look at the axis of the team, Sock, Barry, Philip, Porrig, they're really driving that whole team there forward. Shane O'Sullivan, right half back, that experience and the nice blend with the youthful kind of input, I suppose, of some of the younger guys, Kevin Mahoney and the likes of Peter Hogan, having an unbelievable year as well in terms of the work ethic. And it's they all buy into the systematic approach as well, and they have a nice balance between being systematic, if you like, and being free, which is what we all wanted to see. So it's they're certainly the kind of the barometer from which every other club in Waterford should measure themselves against, as opposed to kind of giving out about them.
You mentioned about the axis there, Derek, and an important part of that is Stephen O'Keefe between the posts. Like, how much of an influence does he have on the way Ballygunner play?
Well, 2 things I'll say, right? One, I think I've been on the record of saying I think he's actually the best goalkeeper that Waterford ever produced. You know, if I was to be completely honest, I think he's, so I'll say that much about him. He's hugely influential vocally. I just watched the Clonlara match back last night, actually, and where Ballygunner are very flexible in their approach. We'll say John Conlon actually gets the first point in the second half, having gone to centre forward, you know, and it's like that Philip just says to himself, instead of manning the D, I'll go tight on John. Conlon for a few minutes, if you like. You know, if Clonlara are likely to come back into this game, John Conlon will probably lead the charge. So Phillip goes out and is completely kind of man-to-man, shall we say, with John Conlon. And then Sock is calling the shots for Paddy Levy to ensure that he's the new man at the edge of the D when Phillip is missing from the edge of the D, if you like. And the whole communicative process is you can actually hear it. If any of the anoraks like myself are out there listening, you can hear on the video at 32 minutes, Sock at the top of his voice just shouting, Paddy, Paddy, Paddy. And Paddy becomes the kind of the new protective layer, if you like. And I think Sock kind of controls all that. He controls, and the other thing he obviously does to Moss, it's very obvious, he saves goals. I'm going back to his school time. He saves goals. He saves, I think Ian Galvin's shot the last day. You know, he saves goals in different matches, which is obviously a huge bonus. And look, he has a very good familiarity with Barry in front of him and Phillip in front of him. They've played together since, I remember watching them in the under-11 Clover tournament some years ago when the late Pat Flynn, Paul's dad, and Mick Manny, Phillips and Porrig's dad were over him. So I remember watching them. That axis is there for a long time, you know.
How will St. Thomas's go about breaking up that axis and getting the better of Stephen O'Keefe and his colleagues?
Yeah, look, it's hard. I've thought about this a good bit, you know, because I've spoken about the flexibility and see what Ballygunner have been very good at. Ballygunner have been very good at almost ignoring the ignorance of other clubs, and I mean that with the greatest respect. The ignorance I mean is around when, you know, when psychological preparation or mental preparation was being kind of almost lamented as nonsensical, and it doesn't make, you know, there's no, Ballygunner were saying there's something in this. You know, when middle thirds were being occupied by many bodies, Ballygunner were kind of saying, when people were being had scant regard for that, people, Ballygunner were saying, there's something in this. Two-man full forward lines, Ballygunner were saying, there's something in this. Plus ones at the back, if you like, Ballygunner were kind of saying, there's something in it. So it's going to be, what Ballygunner have introduced better since the Boris Lee game 2 or 3 years ago, is there's greater flexibility in their approach. So I'll come back to the Thomas's point in a second. Mm. If you see in the first half, even against ourselves in the county final, they went long on several pockets. They've done it a number of times this year where they've changed their approach. To, as I said, even when Phillip goes tight, they use Paddy Levy sometimes. In the county final against De La Salle, they almost played Paddy Levy like a right half-back. Phillip had been caught by Ruben O'Halloran for a couple of points early on. Phillip goes tight and Paddy Levy now becomes the kind of leverage man, if you like. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, I suppose, about St. Thomas's, I think what they have to be is not be led and said by... I read a bit in the match programme of the county final, if you like, and I'm not sure it was from yourself or whoever it was from, but they were talking about the approach against that De La Salle needed to take. And it said that De La Salle needed to push up on them. You know, no matter what, you need to engage, you need to push up on them, etc. And, you know, the talk around the stands that morning was, you know, De La Salle are pushing up. And I think sometimes that becomes an obsession on a coach's or on a management's behalf to say, no matter what we did, we pushed up on them, you know. And invariably what happens then is Ballygunner bring their team back the field, you know. So they look like the extremely offensive team and they're actually sucking you right out the field to make sure they have the numbers on the pitch. So a practical example would be if the ball goes into Ian Kenny and he bats it down and Ronan Power goes back to help, the next man that'll be there will be Mikey Manny, Porrig Manny, Peter Hogan, etc. And oftentimes, even looking at the video of all the matches, there's 12 and 13 guys behind the ball, but the difference is they're able to keep the ball that bit better than everyone else. So I'd say Thomas's will probably put a focus on matchups, I suppose, you know. And I know, and I would have spoken to Philip about this in school, that I'd imagine watching the Sarsfields game and watching the Napiershi, not even the Napiershi game, but the Clonlara game the last day, that some teams have put a focus on stopping Phillip, if you like, as being the main distributor, as being the kind of focal point for the start of the attacks, if you like. So they may or may not do that, but Conor Cooney is likely to be 11. He likes to drift out the field. So if that happens, you'd imagine that Paddy Levy will pick Conor Cooney in, at different stages of the game. They will all work together and Phillip will kind of rotate himself back to the edge of the D. So Thomas's, I think, will have to go with a flexible approach, is what I'm saying. Sometimes they'll have to leave Ballygunner have the puck out and then press on them as they come out the pitch, and other times they'll have to press up. So you'll never win it by kind of saying, oh, we were the team that pushed up on them and we engaged, etc. And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't do that. I'm suggesting there should be flexibility in your approach, if you like. But, you know, Barry and Ian Kenny will invariably mind the house. Ty Foley will go with the third midfielder, if you like, from St. Thomas's. And Phillip will sit and mind the house as well. And they're comfortable doing that because Sock is such a good sweeper keeper himself that they always seem to have the numbers, you know.
What way do you see it going, Derek?
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if Ballygunner don't win and don't advance, and I'm hoping they do. And it's interesting in that the general narrative this week, just reading about it, is it's not going to be a walk in the park for Bally. They know that. I'll go back to the rubbish that's been spouted by some people over the years about Ballygunner, in that, oh, they were in third gear and they were in second gear. These fellas are highly driven, ambitious young men that treat their opponents with absolute respect, and that's why they're as successful as they are on and off the field. And they know the whole concept of team better than everyone else. So I think it'll be sticky. I definitely think it'll be sticky, and I'm not even using the word sticky is an insult to kind of Ballygunner. I think it'll be highly competitive. I think Thomas's have a very good team. If you look at the axis of Thomas's, from Fintan Burke to Shane Cooney to possibly Davy Burke, to Aina Burke up front, they have players, James Regan in the middle of the field, they have players that can play, and I think it'll probably be the best opposition that Ballygunner have played thus far. But I think they'll be ready for it. I think, you know, even who I'm delighted to see finally getting the credit perhaps he deserves, I'm delighted to see Barry Coughlin. You know, he's finally, I think, even in people's mindsets, he's beginning to, you know, to get the credit perhaps that you know, maybe that he hasn't got over the years, you know, in terms of just, I think Austin Gleeson is the only man that's been subjected to more lazy analysis than Barry Coughlin over the years, you know, than Barry. And I find he's playing so well. You know, I think I've said to you in the past, Tomás, he was actually our fastest player when we were involved with Waterford, like, and people don't realise it. He's the one player when we used to train with Waterford that if you're setting up a match, people go to the other corner to kind of, not just to avoid his kind of, you know, his ability to defend, etc., but his speed, his reading of it, his manliness. If anyone wanted an example of a perfect tackle technique, for instance, when David Dempsey was going in on goal against Napiershig, Barry just stood him up and basically said, you're not getting in here. And, you know, I think a lot of the analysis of Barry was due to the fact that Tighe mightn't have been too far away from him. But I don't see Philip too far away from him, nor do I see Richie Reid too far away from Hugh Lawler, nor do I see Declan Hannan too far away from Dan Morrissey. That's the way the game has gone and evolved. And he's just a great guy, you know. And if you were going to war in the morning and you wanted to pick guys from that war for the era, you'd obviously pick Moran or Jake Dillon or Philip Manny. But central amongst them would be Coughlin. Like, he's a proper man, you know, he's a proper guy. And great to see him getting the credit he deserves. Still capable of playing at the highest level, undoubtedly.
Well, Derek McGrath, great to hear your passion and enthusiasm for hurling as always. Thanks a million for dropping in studio this evening.
Sound, Tomás, sound.
Well, that's all for this special All-Ireland Club edition of Lorne na Páirce. There's a Super Saturday of GAA on the way here on WLR. Nigel Kelly will be back with On the Ball from 12 midday. Then it's off to Croke Park for our first George Corbett Scoda big match. It's the All-Ireland Ladies Football Final, Ballymacarbery versus Kilkerran Clonburn. I'll be joined in the commentary box by Michael Ryan for live coverage from 4:45. Next up, it's Portlaoise for the All-Ireland Club Hurling Semi-Final, our second George Corbett Scoda big match. Join Kieran O'Connor and Brian Flannery for live coverage of Ballygunner versus St. Thomas's, and that all starts at 7:15. Thanks for your company, as always. Slánga fóill.
Lorne na Páirce with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.